ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एवं विधय सुपरुषहि शिप्त्वाचार्य सुतां सतीं शर्मिष्ठा प्रक्षिपत कूपे वाचश्चादाय मन्युना। ट्रांसलेशन। Using such unkind words, Sharmishtha rebuked Devyani, the daughter of Shukracharya. In anger, she took away Devyani's garments and threw Devyani into a well. There's no purport to this, so I'll read the next verse. Tasyam gatayam swagriham yayatir mrigayam charan prapto yadrichaya kupe jalarthi tam dadarshaha. After throwing Devyani into the well, Sharmishtha went home. Meanwhile, King Yayati, while engaged in a hunting excursion, went to the well to drink water and by chance saw Devyani. Text 19. Datva swamutaram vasas tasvai raja vivasase grihitva panina panim ujjahara daya paraha. Translation. Seeing Devyani naked in the well, King Yayati immediately gave her his upper cloth. Being very kind to her, he caught her hand with his own and lifted her out. Tam viram ahau shanasi prema nirbharaya gira rajam stvaya grihito me panihi parapuranjaya hastagraho paroma bhud grihitaya stvaya hi me एष ईशो कृतो वीरा संबंधो नौन पौरुषः। Translation. With words saturated with love and affection, Devyani said to King Yayati, O great hero, O king, conqueror of the cities of your enemies, by accepting my hand you have accepted me as your married wife. Let me not be touched by others, for our relationship as husband and wife has been made possible by providence, not by any human being. Purport. While taking Devyani out of the well, King Yayati must certainly have appreciated her youthful beauty, and therefore he might have asked her which caste she belonged to. Thus, Devyani would have immediately replied, "We are already married because you have accepted my hand." Uniting the hands of the bride and bridegroom is a system perpetually existing in all societies. Therefore, as soon as Yayati accepted Devyani's hand, they could be regarded as married because Devyani was enamored with the hero Yayati. She requested him not to change his mind and let another come to marry her. Interesting story in Bhagavatam. So, there is an episode which took place how Devyani got cursed. Devyani is the daughter of Shukracharya. Shukracharya is a Brahmin, so she is a Brahmin. And it so happened that Sharmishtha, who was a daughter of a Kshatriya, and Devyani, they both were friends. So while they were bathing in the well, accidentally Sharmishtha took on Devyani's clothes. She wore her clothes. So Devyani became very upset and there was an argument. And in the end, Sharmishtha takes Devyani and throws her into the well. And then you can see that King Yayati happens to come, pass by. He's thirsty, he looks into the well and he finds this very beautiful daughter of a Brahmin, Devyani, and he falls in love like that, and then this episode is there. So actually Devyani is the daughter of a Brahmin, and she's actually fallen in love with a son of a Kshatriya. I mean, he's a Kshatriya, he's a king. And there is an episode behind this also, there is a history behind this also, that how Devyani, being a daughter of a Brahmin, came to marry or fall in love with a Kshatriya. Because generally, Kshatriyas, they get married to Kshatriyas, they don't get married to Brahmins. So, Brahmins are supposed to marry. A Brahmin husband marries a Brahmin wife or a Kshatriya wife. But it's never opposite. A husband from a Kshatriya caste does not marry a Brahmin girl. It's not recommended in the scriptures. So how come that Devyani, being the daughter of a Brahmin, gets married to Yayati? So there's a history behind this, that Devyani gets cursed. She gets cursed. By whom? By Brihaspati's son, whose name is Kaccha. And how did this happen? So Kaccha, he was entrusted with the responsibility to go to Shukracharya, who was a guru of the Danavas, the Asuras, and to learn the knowledge of Mrita Sanjeevani Mantra. Okay, because they had the knowledge of the Mrita Sanjeevani. Anyone who would die, they could be brought back to life, yeah, just by chanting this mantra. So what happened was, Kaccha becomes the disciple of Shukracharya, and he starts, you know, serving him very nicely and wonderfully. When the other asuras, they become envious, they discover the hidden plan and agenda of Kaccha. So they decide to kill Kaccha, and they actually kill him. But what had happened was, while he was living in the ashram of Shukracharya, you know, Devyani happened to be there, and they kind of fall in love, and so Devyani becomes attached to him. So she goes to her father and says that, where is Kaccha? He is not to be seen. And so Shukracharya, because he knows everything, he's a very knowledgeable person, by the dint of his mystic powers, he understands that this Kaccha has been killed. So because he had the knowledge of Mrita Sanjeevani, he chants the mantras and brings him back to life. And that happens twice, that twice the asuras discover that Kaccha is the son of Brihaspati, and he has come here with the secret mission of discovering this mantra. They again kill him. Twice they kill him. In fact, three times he's killed. So what happens is that both the times Shukracharya brings him back to life. The third time when he's killed, the asuras, in order that he's not revived again by Shukracharya, they chop his body into fine pieces and mix it up in the food of Shukracharya and feeds Shukracharya only. So Shukracharya eats, and after that he realizes what has happened. So Devyani goes to Shukracharya and says, do something, do something. And at that time Shukracharya, he tells, you know, that look, my daughter, this time I will not be able to revive your Kaccha, because if I revive him, I will die, because he's inside me now. So you want him or you want me? Whom do you want? So Devyani says, no, don't tell me all this philosophy. I want both of you. And I don't care how you do it, but you do it. So Shukracharya thinks of a plan. And within his body is Kaccha. So he chants the Mrita Sanjeevani mantra, and Kaccha comes out of his body, killing Shukracharya. But because he chanted the mantra, Kaccha understood what the mantra is. So then Kaccha chants the mantra and brings Shukracharya back to life. So in the process, Kaccha, he gets the mantra, he gets the secret. So he decides to go, and he says, bye, see you. So when he was leaving, Devyani says, where are you going? So he says, I'm leaving, my mission is accomplished. So she becomes very upset, and then she curses Kaccha that the mission that you have come for will not be fulfilled. The mantra which you have learned will be of no use to you. So Kaccha in turn curses her, saying that, you know, you will also never get married to any Brahmin. You will never get married to a Brahmin. So that way she also gets cursed like that. So we see that, you know, just cursing, counter-cursing. So the principle, we see that there was so much of love and affection, is it not? I mean, how much she loved him. But when she discovered that he would no longer be with her, then immediately she spelled a curse. She gave a curse. So it's very interesting. We see that how relationships in this world break down, you know, as soon as one sees that their interests are not being met. As long as this person is satisfying me, as long as, you know, it's pleasing to me, oh, I love you, oh, you are the best of friends, you are the best of, you know, all this. But the thing is, the moment that thing shatters, when the other person fails to give the kind of satisfaction, the kind of a reciprocation that one expects, then immediately all that love turns into hate. Is it not? Here we can see that again. Even we can see here Devyani and Sarmishta. Yeah, they were the very good friends, but just on a small incident, what was that? That accidentally Sarmishta put on the clothes of Devyani. And then a huge fight ensued. Is it not? What was the cause? The cause was very tiny. Yeah, just you wore my clothes, and therefore I don't like you. And then the argument ensued, and then, you know, they started having a big fight, and the relationship broke down, and one friend threw the other friend into the well. So we can see how these relationships in this world are based on, you know, sense gratification. And whenever that sense gratification is hampered, it leads to crime, actually. Heinous crimes. Just recently I read in a newspaper that the younger brother, he chops the, in GCH, in fact, you know, in GCH, Government College Hostel, devotee was telling me that one boy, he killed his brother's wife and chopped her into hundreds and hundreds of pieces, small pieces, and put it in a plastic or something and threw it into the ocean. And the CBI came to the hostel to arrest him. It was discovered. So you can imagine, you know, when what happens if one is angry. You see. So what we can learn, therefore Krishna explains in the Gita, avritam jnanametena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya duspurena anilena cha. That when one is angry, what happens? The anger which is arising out of lust covers one's intelligence. One's knowledge, one's discrimination is covered, and he is not able to see that, you know, what is good for him, what is the right thing to do, what is the wrong thing to do. So, kama rupena, avritam jnanam etena, jnanino nitya vairina, kama, this is the eternal enemy of knowledge, of discrimination. What is that? Kama rupa. It's selfishness, basically. And because of selfishness, what we see? We see that people can go to any extent, where one becomes angry, and one can go to any extent to do anything. Even to the extent of killing one's own near and dear ones. All it takes is that a little differences of opinion, you know, could be a little bit non, you know, whatever, small reasons. It's not the reason which is actually the cause of the strife. You know, it's not any material cause. It's deep within, the selfishness which is lying dormant within everyone's heart. And a kind of material situation just becomes a cause to, you know, uncover that selfishness. And that's what happens. So we can see that when we overcome this calm, in fact Krishna explains that when we become a devotee, when we really become advanced by the practice of Krishna consciousness, then actually one can overcome these situations. In Puranas we hear of the story of Sunda and Upasunda, these two asuras. So Sunda and Upasunda, you know, they are the best of friends, and, you know, they love each other so much. They do tapasya together. They do everything together. Right? And then what happens? They get a benediction. Brahma benedicts them that no one will be, they ask a benediction in fact. They say that we should never be killed by anyone save and except ourselves. Save and accept ourselves. No one can kill us. Because they were confident that we can never go against each other. Very confident. And they asked for that benediction. and Brahma blesses them. But what happens? They become so powerful, they become so puffed up that they start going around the universe creating havoc. So again the demigods went to Brahma and said, now you do something, you gave them benediction, so now you do something, find a solution. So what does Brahma do? Brahma creates a Apsara, a beautiful, beautiful heavenly damsel, Tilottama. And as soon as the two brothers look at her, both of them want her. And they start fighting with each other and they kill each other. That was the end. So we see that whenever, very close relationships, very close relationships can turn so bitter. Why? Because of this. When the sense gratification is not there, yeah, if somehow, somewhere down the line, if this person is not, satisfying me or has a different opinion, then bye-bye, see you. Or it can go to the other extent of killing each other, like we can see in this case. So many such examples. But on the other hand, we can see that in the case of the Pandavas, there were five brothers with one wife. There were five brothers and one wife, and still we don't hear of any arguments which took place between them for Draupadi. Is it not? Generally, when there's common sense gratification available for so many people, naturally there's going to be dispute, is it not? But somehow they had resolved the issue properly, and they never fought. Why? Because Krishna was the center of their life. As long as Krishna is the center, there can be no problems. As long as Krishna is a priority, as long as services are priority, there cannot be any material distress. And that is the secret, actually, that we learn to see others not on the basis of how much this person is satisfying my senses, but how much this person is satisfying Krishna's senses. If a person is serving Krishna nicely, then he's nice. Not because he's giving pleasure to me, or he's appreciating me, or he's saying such good things about me, he actually understands my glory, he's a very kind person, or he's, whatever. It's not on the basis of how much, he's pleasing my senses, but how much he's actually serving Krishna's senses, pleasing Krishna's senses. So that I and mine, aham, mameti, the concentric circles, and I, most important, is in the middle, in a conditioned state of existence. So if we somehow, by practice of Krishna consciousness, learn to remove that I and put K there, K means Krishna, then what happens? Then there is pure relationships, there is no selfishness. We can see even in Bhagavad 10th canto, Kamsa is driving the chariot of Devaki. Very lovingly he's speaking such glorious words about Vasudeva and Devaki. But the moment there is a prophecy from the sky that this sister of yours, the son of this sister, will be the cause of your death, immediately takes out a sword, holds the hair of his sister and is about to chop her head. Where is that love gone? It's all gone. It's all finished. Why? Because, again, I is very important. The I is in the center. So therefore, we see that in the Gita, Krishna was with Pandavas. He was not with Kauravas. Is it not? Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Parthar Dhanudaraha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is a great devotee like Arjuna, there always will be victory, morality, opulence. And where is Krishna? Krishna is always with those who are detached from all, everything material. And we can see that in the verses spoken by Arjuna. In the Gita, Arjuna says, Kim no rajena govindo, kim bhogena jivitena va, yesham arthe kankshitam no rajyam bhoga sukhanicha. So Arjuna is saying that, kim no rajena govindo, what use is this kingdom? What use is all this material opulence? It's of no use. I don't want it. Not at the cost of my relatives. Not at the cost of my family members. I don't want to kill them. I don't want this kingdom. Why are you engaging me in this war? It's at the cost of my own family members. I don't want this. I'm ready to just surrender everything. Duryodhan wants to fight. He's shameless. Never mind. Why should we be like him? I want to hand over everything to him. So Prabhupada explains, look at the kind-heartedness of Arjuna. He is not attached to anything material. Of course, he was attached to his family members. We can see Duryodhan was on this level. Arjuna was on this level. Duryodhan was ready to kill his own family members, yeah, for a kingdom. He was attached to matter more than his own relatives. Arjuna was detached from anything material in terms of opulences, kingdom, power, position, control. But he was attached to his family members. You see, he was much higher than Duryodhan. And Krishna then takes him still higher by telling him that give up attachment not just to the kingdom but also to your family members and simply do what I am telling you. Which means that even kill your family members. Now, why? Because you are walking on the path of dharma. For you now, fighting is dharma, and therefore because I am telling you that, out of affection for me, you give up even your family members. So we see that's the difference between Arjuna and Duryodhan. You know, not attached to material position, power, control. This is what basically people in this world are hankering for, are running behind. All this traffic on the road, all these aircrafts flying all over the world, you know, all this running around is for what? Basically these four things. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in his prayers, Dhanam, Janam, Sundari and Kavita. Everybody wants Dhanam, wealth, Janam, high birth, aristocracy, Sundari, a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband, and everybody wants erudition, scholarship, followers and all those kind of things. So everybody is behind these only. There's nothing. It's succinctly put, precisely, you know, precipitated. The essence has been presented to all of us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that this is the four things that people are behind. Give them up. You know, basically, rise above, because all these things are, in one sense, gone. It's not permanent. It's a cause of distress, actually. Therefore, Bali Maharaj makes a very nice prayer. When Shukracharya is telling Bali that this person who has come in front of you, who appears to be a Brahman, he's not a Brahman, he's Supreme Lord himself, come in the form of a Brahmachari, he's a cheater, he's come to cheat you, he's going to take all your wealth, he's going to ask for three steps of land, and he's going to take the three worlds from you. I forbid you from giving anything to him. He's Vishnu. He'll take away everything you have. And Bali Maharaj is contemplating, and he speaks a very nice words. He says, "Yad yad dhasati lokesmin samparetam dhanadikam, tasya dane nimittam kim viprastushena tena chit." So he says, "Yad yad dhasati lokesmin samparetam dhanadikam," that everybody in this world are giving charity to death. Everybody has to give charity to death, is it not? So he's saying like that. Everybody is giving charity to death. Yadya dasati lokesmin samparitam dhanadikam. Jo dhan hai, wo sab mrityu ko daan deke chale jate hain sab log. Even Chanakya says, no? The greatest charitable person is who? A miser. Why? Because even without touching his wealth, entire property he donates to death and leaves. Who is more charitable than a miserly person? So he's also saying, yadya dasati lokesmin samparitam dhanadikam tasya tyage nimittam kim. But Bali Maharaj is adding, he says, what is the use of this tyag? Tasya tyage nimittam kim viprastushena tena chit. What is the use? If everybody has to give, then why not give to God? If any day, if at one point of time we have to give up our wealth, then why not give it for God, for Krishna? If the Supreme Lord personally has come in front of us to take charity, then why should we not give? So let's give it. Let me give it. I don't want to take your advice. I'll give it. So this is what is important. Yeah. Because that's naturally, if you see, attachment to anything material, being selfish, nobody likes it, is it not? Come to think of it. Like for example, you know, it's like for example, we are say preaching to somebody. You know, ISKCON devotees are preaching. And we come to know a very wealthy person is there. And you know, you go, Prabhu, kaise? Oh, and you know, he eventually discovers this guy is behind my money. Will he be inspired? Not be inspired. You say, what the hell? You know, These people are supposed to be devotees, but these people are attached to my wealth. What is this? And he'll be put off. That's why the acharyas in our sampradaya, they never went around building temples. Establishing the principle that we don't go around collecting funds, raising funds, you know, asking for people's wealth. That's not our priority. We simply preach and we are interested in people becoming devotees. And if people's hearts are changed, naturally they will come forward and, you know, they will give their money. They'll become devotees. They'll give their money. They'll feel, oh, you're doing such nice service. Take, I donate. So that is the process, showing that how important it is to be detached from anything material, even while preaching. At home we can see, samajh lijiye ki, you know, for example, at home, say a father, yeah, I'll just share an anecdote. You know, one boy was asked in college that which is the best book you liked. So he says, my father's checkbook. You know, that's really something practical which always comes to my help, you know. So you see, basically, even if the father understands that the son is not attached to me, he's attached to my wealth, yeah, will the parents be happy? You know, parents will not be happy. Correct. Parents want to give. Parents want to give. But first he wants to see that whether he truly loves me. We have seen that, is it not? Sometimes the children at home, they develop an attitude of stealing from home, you know. They open the cupboard and they steal. Is it not? They go steal money. Father may be keeping money in the pocket and slowly, you know, there are 1,000 rupees in the pocket. Son will take out some 50 rupees. Not much because he'll be discovered. You know, slowly, slowly, 10, 20 rupees, 30 rupees, 40 rupees. He takes out, goes and spends it. And when they discover, what do? You know, they lock the cupboards. Simply lock the cupboards, is it not? They don't want to give the child. Why? Because misusing the money. And it's hurting to the parents to see that why the child is doing like that. But when the son becomes responsible, then the mother or the father will himself hand over, you know, the keys of the locker, of the treasury, give it to the son and say, you please manage the accounts. Is it not? So first, the parents want to see how responsible the children have become. And then wealth or whatever is it's supposed to be, it is meant for the children only, is it not? The parents know that wealth they want to hand over, but first of all they want to see the son develop in maturity, in selflessness, in genuine love and concern for the parents, and that's what gives pleasure to the Lord. And that is true love actually. Is it not? Otherwise it is not affection. The parents want to help. Like I heard one devotee was telling example, and once devotee at the reception, he was telling that the son, he decided that I am going to leave home. Main ghar chhod ke chala jaunga agar mujhe two wheeler nahi diya to. I will leave home if I am not given a two wheeler. And the parents became so frustrated or whatever, they brought the two wheeler for him. And recently he was going for some tuitions classes at Goregaon someplace. He met with an accident and he got killed on the two wheeler. He got killed. Yeah. So that's what happens, that when we get something, when we get material things, that material thing becomes the cause of our own unhappiness. If it's not got out of love and service. You know, like one devotee was telling, the child is telling the father, father, you know, if I get distinction, will you give me something? What will you give me? The father says, I'll give you a four-wheeler. And says, but father, if I don't get distinction, if I just get a first class, then what will you give me? Then I will get you a two-wheeler. I says, but father, if I don't even get first class, if I flunk, then what? Then I'll give you a three-wheeler. Rickshaw, you know, you forget your studies, drive a rickshaw. You know, just drive a rickshaw and that will be good for you. Forget your studies. Don't need to study if you fail. So the parents are interested to give a lot to the children, is it not? But first they want to see him become responsible and, you know, be able to use the resources properly. Otherwise he'll end up using his resources, God's resources, in his own sense gratification,
and he will fall down. He will hurt himself. Yeah, so that is true love. True love means there is no attachment to anything material. True love, that is what is required. A relationship. And that is the way we preach actually. Detachment from anything material. And that is very important. So there are so many such examples we can give. And even Lord Nityananda, we can see, like Srila Prabhupada, he went, place to place and he preached, he constructed a lot of temples. Somebody may ask, why did Srila Prabhupada construct so many temples? But Srila Prabhupada was such a powerful acharya. He was such an empowered, detached personality that even though he asked money left, right, center, he went around, begging and whatever he could do to get money to construct these temples, beautiful temples all over the world. But people could see that this personality is completely detached. Simply engaged in the service of Krishna. He's got nothing, no motivations whatsoever. So that is a very important principle. Detachment from anything material. And only in such a situation one can actually have effective relationships. Real relationships develops when actually one comes to the Brahma Bhuta platform, one actually comes on the level of bhakti. When one becomes above, this body. Understanding that we are this body and we are trying to get things for our body. Very important. To realize we are Atma. And learn to give others. When we learn to give to others things that we like, then that becomes the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, of our true relationships, of giving what we like the best. Not giving what... Now generally people, when it comes to giving donation to Krishna and, in temples, donations come, people generally give what? Something which is second hand. Something which is like old. It's not of use to them, then they donate. Mandir mein de do jaake. Two wheelers, three wheelers, 2002, 2000 models, Is it not? Somebody told me I'm giving donation. Sony ka projector giving you, donating. So I got it and I opened it and it was Sanyo. 2002 model. So naturally we see that Krishna is not the priority in our lives. So we have to learn to put Krishna as a priority. We have to learn to put service to the Lord as a priority. Even when it comes to giving appreciation, one devotee was sharing his realization that after some drama festival, he went to one Mataji and appreciated her daughter's contribution, her acting or something like that. And she said, "Amazing, Mataji, your daughter performed so nicely, very good. It's really good." So Mataji started crying. She said, "Why are you crying, Mataji?" She said, "Hardly anybody appreciates genuinely. So many years I've heard a genuine appreciation. So I just, my eyes got filled with tears." So we hold back, is it not? We hold back appreciation. We don't want to give appreciation. Sometimes we think that if I give appreciation, this person will become proud. Why we should increase the pride of this person? Should not appreciate. But Ramanujacharya says one must glorify devotees. Otherwise we'll become envious. What about that? If we don't glorify devotees, thinking they'll become proud, but what happens? Okay, they may become proud or they may not become proud, but we'll become envious. So we, for the our purification, we actually glorify devotees. That is another form of detachment. Actually another form of developing higher relationships. Where if we see a genuine quality in somebody or a genuine service which has been rendered, then immediately, for our own purification, we go and we appreciate. A culture of glorification. Genuine glorification, not for extorting something, not for that. And as far as humbling that person is concerned, Krishna has got sufficient resources and, facilities made to humble everybody in this world. Nobody can be proud of anything. Is it not? Is it not? I mean, that is clear. There's old age and there's disease and death waiting for everybody to humble everybody. Come, bow down in front of us. Is it not? How long can we enjoy this world? So the Lord has made perfect arrangement to humble everybody. So Krishna has made, let us leave that department to Krishna. Is it not? And let us take this department of self-purification, where when it comes to giving glorification without any reservation, we just glorify. Not, of course, materially, but spiritually. You know, just some genuine service which has been rendered, we actually appreciate. And that is the way of, developing, I would say, a pure relationship, selfless relationship. And that is important. Because otherwise, if you see, materialistic people, their pleasure depends on what? Pleasure depends on others. Is it not? I mean, say for example, how do materialistic people get their pleasure from? Say for example, say you wear very nice clothes and you are looking very good. Yeah. Naturally, you won't wear good clothes and sit at home, lock yourself up, you know, and you're wearing the best of clothes. Why do people wear good clothes and go out? Because they want. People will say, wow, you're wearing such a nice suit, you know, wearing such wonderful, you're looking really good. And then you feel, that's a fulfillment of having worn good clothes. Is it not? So, even though a person may be empowered with so many opulences, the pleasure comes not by keeping it, pleasure comes by, you know, showing it. Because pleasure, the opulences is not giving us pleasure. The appreciation which comes from people, that gives us pleasure. Is it not? I mean, if say a person is wearing good clothes and he sits at home, does he get any pleasure? So is the pleasure in the material thing of good clothes? Is it the money which if he just stocks it at home and just keeps it without spending it, will he get pleasure? So the opulences in itself does not give pleasure. The opulence when shown to others and when people know that how great we are, yeah, and say that you are the best, you are amazing, yeah, and then that makes us feel, wow, so good. So you see, happiness is dependent on others, and naturally Krishna ensures if somebody is getting pleasure out of showing others how much they have, Krishna eventually takes away all those things. And what happens is then the more one is attached to getting appreciation from others, naturally when things are gone, when opulences are gone, which will happen in due course of time, what happens? There's more frustration. So nature ensures all those things. So therefore Ramanujacharya says, always appreciate and glorify devotees. In fact, one should treat one's godbrother in the final instruction, Ramanujacharya says, in the final instructions to his disciples, Ramanujacharya says, one should treat godbrothers as good as one's guru. He says like that, Ramanujacharya says. And in that mood and consciousness, if one preaches, then that actually changes people's hearts. And Nityanand Prabhu, he explains that, you know, in the prayer, Narottam Das Thakur's prayer, Jare dekho, tare kaho, dante trina dhari. So Lord Nityananda, who is the acharya for preaching, he was the best preacher. He is explaining from his own example, he is demonstrating from his own example that how a preacher should preach. Jare dekho, tare kaho, dante trinadhari, that whomever you see, tell them about Krishna, but how? By holding a blade of grass in one's mouth. That is the method to preach. When we humbly present Krishna consciousness, you know that, okay, I am not qualified, you know, you are so qualified, please accept Krishna consciousness. Then preaching is very effective. And in fact, that is good preaching. That is, and that's what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada went around the world. If you see, he went to America. How did he preach? He was washing the pots. He was giving initiations. And after an initiation, it is the duty of the disciples to go wash pots and keep things clean. Prabhupada was actually cleaning up the place, the yajna sthali and everything. He was washing the plates. He was doing everything. He was cooking for his disciples. And when the disciples saw that how Srila Prabhupada was actually so detached, he was so humble, then actually they took up to Krishna consciousness. You know, so actually preaching means also this, that in this attitude, where we can establish a relationship with people, which is possible only if we give up that false ego. If we are not attached to anything material, not after our preaching we start expecting that, okay, abhi iPod milega, you know, or whatever, you know, as it happened, you know, once some devotees came from abroad, and I have to take care of some devotees who every year they come from, you know, sabbatical, yeah. And, you know, at the end of the course, they're asking me, so Prabhu, what would you like? iPod? Would you like MP3 player? And I felt, oh God, what? I mean, why is he asking these things, you know, when asking? So maybe, you know, that could be the motivation. It could be the motivation of serving devotees. Okay, maybe I will get this. Maybe I will get that, you know. Or maybe I will get followers. I will preach and I will make a devotee. I will get one servant. One person will become indebted to me eternally. He will say that this person has brought me to Krishna consciousness. Ah, that will bring me so much pleasure. Yeah. So that could be also a motivation. You know, to own up people as they come, you know, and where people would say, when, you know, how did you come to Krishna consciousness, Prabhu? And you'll say, this person brought me to Krishna consciousness. So, no, Prabhu, I did not. It's all Krishna's grace. But in the heart of hearts, we're thinking, I have become an acharya. I am delivering people. You know, I mean, that kind of feeling may come. So the idea is that in order to develop effective relationships, even during preaching or whatever, the principle of preaching is humility, humble preaching. Trinadapi sunichena taroreva sahishnuna amanina manedena kirtaniya sadahari. Which Srila Prabhupada has demonstrated personally, that what it means to preach. You know, that he was so detached amidst all the opulences. You know, he was completely detached. He was completely detached. So that is the principle. So here we can see that Devyani and Sharmishta, they were very close friends, but they became the greatest enemies in a moment. Why? Because of anger. Because of selfishness. Yeah, and we have seen so many such examples. So, and how to get free from this coverings of lust, as we have seen. How to get free, and the message, the remedy, the solution is, it's not a secret. If we just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So, in the Gita it is explained, you know, when Krishna says, Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena nilena cha. He also tells an example that there are different layers of coverings of lust. You know, it's easy to speak, you know, but it's difficult to practice selflessness. And he says that there are different layers of coverings. Dhumena avriyate vanir yata darpo malena cha. Just like a womb is, an embryo is covered by the womb, yeah. A mirror is covered by dust, and fire is covered by smoke. Similarly, the soul is covered by these different layers of lust, selfishness. And Prabhupada explains that, you know, the embryo covered by the womb represents these trees, these tree species, you know. They are thickest coverings. The Atma is covered with so much of selfishness that they get the body of trees. Mirror covered by dust is the species of beasts, of these four-legged animals. And the smoke covering fire is a human species. Selfishness is very thin. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Leela, he has shown that how by chanting Maha Mantra, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these different categories of people can be liberated from the different coverings of lust. Like, for example, embryo covered by the womb. Which species? Trees. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he came to the place where Lord Ramachandra had hid behind those tall trees. He hid behind those tall trees. Yeah, and he shot Wali, you see. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, embraced those trees, and in the self same body of the trees, they disappeared and went back to the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered those trees by embracing them. 7 tall trees When he was going in Jharkhand forest, he made the animals, the deers, the tigers, the lions, the elephants, they were all chanting all together in harmony, in unison, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught, yeah, if you chant Hare Krishna, even beasts can be delivered. And what to speak of human beings? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has delivered so many human beings simply by giving them the Maha Mantra. So we can see that it is so amazing. Simply Hare Krishna. By the process of chanting Hare Krishna, we can be free. Yeah. So if we give, we don't lose. Yeah. We have to learn to give. In the process, a little giving is involved. You know, giving what we have, we hold dear to our hearts. We give, we don't lose. Yeah, to Krishna. We give our time for Krishna. And we begin in a small way. Yeah, in a small way, maybe we give something, a little bit. And then that develops. Just like we develop, you know, people develop bad habits. Yeah, when people drink, you know how they start? A little bit, one peg. Yeah? And people drink whiskey or something. They start with one peg. And you tell them, you are drunkard. I'm not a drunkard. No, I'm in complete control. Only one peg per day. That's all. Not more, not less. One peg. But that's how it starts. Yeah. And then after 1 month, then it becomes two pegs. Because that one peg doesn't give them that kick. You know. And then they have to increase the dose. And then it becomes two peg. And then it increases. And later on they realize that even after drinking khamba, still they are not getting the kick, you know, the high. They don't, and that's how it is. So it starts with a small way. And that is the, basically, you know, the principle of the mind. Mind can never be satisfied. Materially, never satisfied. Spiritually also, it's never satisfied. And therefore, if one learns to give, say maybe a 1 rupee, we put it in the hundi, we experience some pleasure. And that we feel, then after some time we feel, why only 1 rupee? Why not give 10 rupees? Then 10, it becomes 50. 50 becomes 100. Then becomes 500. Then becomes 1,000. Then we, you know, it increases like that. That's how we begin in a small way. In fact, you know, that last time we had a Gita course in Khargar, where there was a hall. We wanted to rent a hall. We saw one of the best halls in Khargar. The rent was around 4,000 rupees per day. So they made a calculation that they need 100 participants to enroll so that it breaks even. Yeah, that's 4,000 rupees. So 100 participants would break even the cost of the hall, the prasad and all other things. So they went around making enrollments and unfortunately they could only enroll 65 people. It's a big loss. Major loss. Anyway, all the devotees dependent on Krishna. And what happened? When those devotees attended the course, you know, and they saw all these devotees, all these congregation devotees, they're coming, they're serving prasad, they're organizing and doing all these things, they're wondering, kya milta hai? What does he want? Huh? Some commission they're like getting? What is it that is driving you? And they said, nothing, just Krishna's seva. Those people were so inspired that every day people came and sponsored the prasad. Prasad was sponsored and people were left with surplus money. Surplus money. Each candidate was charged 700 rupees for the course. And devotees were thinking, that's too much. People can't pay so much. Khargar area, people are not so well off. And some devotees suggested, it is not the money, Prabhu, it is not the money. You know, people will come if they realize they are getting good quality, if they are getting the genuine stuff. Let's keep it at 700. And they kept it at 700, you know, which was a big amount. And even after keeping it, they got substantial amount of people to come and attend the program. And they did the program successfully and they left with extra funds for the use of, for the further preaching services. So we see that how when we give to Krishna, we receive. You know, we give, we make a risk, we take risks for Krishna. Krishna gives. Like the fruit vendor lady, you see. She came, Krishna came. Krishna brought some few grains of, you know, wheat. Gave it to the fruit vendor lady. And fruit vendor lady was so, you know, so enamored by the beauty of Krishna. She fell in love with Krishna. So without making any assessment that, oh, how much I have received, he has given me so less. She didn't calculate and she just gave everything to Krishna. Krishna went back with those fruits, and when she lifted her basket, within the basket she found all those few grains which Krishna had given her had turned into jewels, diamonds, rubies. She became a wealthy lady. So Krishna wanted to show, why are you holding back? I will give you much more than what you have. Yoga Kshema Mahamyam. So we don't have to have reservations when it comes to serving Krishna. If you wholeheartedly serve Krishna, we will actually receive lot more than what we have now. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bhu.